was a ghost, I was alone.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Wild West Brewfest in Katy. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Brian's over here pulling out his phone, looking at pictures that Lexi, I call her Alexis. What does she go by?
Lexi.
She goes by Lexi?
That's why I've always heard her referred to as.
I'm not cool enough to call her Lexi. But Brian pulled the pictures of our Instagram at St. Arnold yesterday.
I went to the video.
There are no fans. I don't look at any. There's four stinking fans here. There's one on each corner of the room.
I saw the video of her walking through the room.
I sent a picture of it. There's no argument here. It's been proven. There's nothing else to say. The jury has – what do they use? The jury has reached their verdict.
Yeah, and Brian, you lost.
Yeah. 7137. He's going to be like, they took it out for us. 713-780 ESPN. Junkie just said, let's play a game called Pick Your Uber Driver. Tiger Woods, LaMelo Ball, or a Georgia football player?
Oh, that's a great question. So
Georgia football player, you're getting there quick at least.
Yeah, you're getting there faster. Yeah, for sure.
Fast.
If I'm in a rush, like this hour and 20-minute drive out here to Katy for me might have been, 45 minutes.
Oh, the officer's doing a presser apparently right now that Tiger was on something. I'm reading DUI for Tiger Woods.
Well, so far what we know about Georgia players and Tiger Woods with driving incidents is not always sober. So I'll take LaMelo.
If he gets arrested for DUI, can he still play in the Masters?
Probably.
So you would go LaMelo here?
I think I'd go LaMelo here.
Has a Georgia football player ever gotten injured driving, or they just get like unlawfully going really fast? I'm not sure there's been an.
Did someone get killed?
Did somebody pass away?
That's Jalen Carter, right?
I think he left the scene.
Was it his teammate?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know.
I couldn't remember. It was his teammate or someone else.
Well, I apologize for that misinformation. I did not. I forgot the semantics of that. So it was his teammate, huh?
I think so.
That's right, because like he's a lousy teammate.
Yeah,
left his teammate to die.
I think so.
Yeah, that's right.
So LaMelo.
Because he's never gotten seriously injured.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't the one video where I think the worst one is not the accident. It's when he pulls out like in the Lambo, like in the middle.
He has the wreck, and then 30 seconds later, he's gone because someone picked him up in a Lambo.
Yeah, LaMelo's always been like fender benders.
Yeah.
Whereas Tiger's had two rollovers, and Georgia football players have unfortunately passed away.
So LaMelo's the answer.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I would definitely have preferred none of the above, but if I had to choose, LaMelo.
Yeah. Tiger has enough money to have his own driver. Never mind, that's a bad joke. Tiger's enough money to have his own driver. Self-inflicted problems, it's a shame. It really is. Why are the Astros congratulating Jason Hayward on retirement? Because the Astros celebrate everything.
Yeah, Jason Hayward retired, and Jason Hayward played for the Astros.
Joe Espada got a congratulatory tweet when he won his 100th game.
Did he really? Yes.
Oh, no.
We mocked it on the show.
I don't remember that.
He had like a 55 win percentage. No. He had like a 550 win percentage. They're congratulating him on his 100th tweet.
That might be worse when they used to hang wild card champion banners.
You know what? That's a great question. Why are they I appreciate that, I guess. Like, they're being nice. I don't know. I feel like that's okay to congratulate a player on his retirement. I know he wasn't here a whole lot. I do want to bang on the Astros, because we bang on everybody. It's fun for me. And I certainly bang on the Astros whenever they congratulated Joe Espada for his 100th win in his 180th game. But I don't feel like this one's out of touch. I don't feel like this is out of line. I don't feel like this is, too friendly. I think it's fine to congratulate somebody on retirement, send out a little graphic on Twitter. You're not having a retirement
ceremony.
It's fine.
If they had a tribute video for him,
this
that would be
fine.
Overboard.
See, maybe I just didn't go back on the Cubs Twitter far enough, but I see a video here from the Braves, which that makes sense.
Of course.
But
the Cubs aren't classy.
That's fair. That's fair, because they didn't congratulate them.
Is it okay that the Astros sent out a congratulatory graphic on Jason Hayward announcing his retirement?
A graphic's okay.
I think it's fine.
A half a season here?
Yeah.
Yeah, almost had a really big hit in the playoffs. Remember he hit that rocket to first?
Yeah, if he would have got a video – the next time he came back with the Padres or whatever. That's too much. But a graphic tweet
maybe
a good baseball player that was in the league for a long time, that's totally fine.
He played 24 games. He had 61 plate appearances. Like a video might have been too much.
Yeah, a video would have been too much.
It also would have been very hard.
Like, honestly, what was going to be in that video?
Just a picture of his four home runs. A video of his four home runs.
Yeah, so it would be short, nice and sweet. But
no, I think a video probably would have been too much, but I don't mind a little graphic.
No, it's fine. They're just being, you know.
That's fine.
They're just trying to be positive.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's fine. The Hunter Brown thing that popped up yesterday, just the pitch count, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if he's going to be a guy who can log 200 innings, then he can't be leaving the game in the fifth. Because he's racking up a bunch of pitches, you know?
Yep.
So, like, that's the only problem that, you know, you could really point to with Hunter Brown. I mean, he struck out everybody. He had so many strikeouts in yesterday's game. But that's something that he knows that. He'd be the first person to tell you that.
Well, and sometimes with those strikeouts, you're just going to get into deeper counts. And pitches are getting fouled off if you're trying to be just outside the zone and guys are battling. So, it kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah.
In a way of being a heavy strikeout pitcher and that being, you know, a big weapon for you. But you know, to me, it's just I was still surprised in the jump, more or less, from 83 pitches to 102 from spring to the regular season. That surprised me a little bit.
Probably didn't love that they did that. The Astros probably didn't love that they did it.
No, probably not.
But they kind of probably, like, were in a tough spot, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly what happened after, with Blue Ball going 2 1/3.
Real quick on the Hunter Brown pitch count, the walks, too. Like,
yeah.
He had four walks.
Yeah.
Three of them were to Mike Trout.
That's a lot. Mike Trout's back, baby.
Might be.
You know, 1 for 2, 3 walks, home run. Mike Trout going to be terrorizing the Astros again this year. Probably not.
Yeah.
He'll probably get hurt.
But he moved back to center field, too. He's feeling younger. He's feeling spry.
I didn't realize they were doing that. I was surprised when I saw
it. I read something about it in the offseason.
Okay, yeah, I missed that. Yeah, Hunter Brown, it's one start. It's good. You just got to find a way to get deeper into games, especially with the status. Of this bullpen, and just how it's already banged up a little bit, not having Hader. You got to rely on him to go deeper into games when you know you can't rely on Javier and McCullers, and Imai and Burrows are going to be giant question marks, at least at the start of the season,
yeah.
With how deep they're going to go into games.
Junkie says the catwalk, yes, roof should be open. Another junkie, high tomorrow is 73. The roof better be open, or what? Like, what are you going to do if the roof's not open? Tweet angrily on Twitter? Like, what do you mean, or what?
I mean, that's all you can do, or just not go to the game.
The roof better be open. Okay. Well, what are you going to do if it's not? What are you going to do? You're going to just sit in your seats and complain. And I'm seeing a high of 77 tomorrow. A little bit warmer, but still comfortable. Another junkie, we were standing at the Planet Fitness arch in left field, and when Alvarez hit the ball, it was massive. It was still climbing when it hit the grating and beam. So impressive. It was majestic, some would say.
It was.
Rocky, yeah, let's give the Astros props for barreling baseballs as Myers barreling baseballs ever. No, he sucks. He's not a good hitter. Like, he might be able to, like, you know, get some squibblers to a 300 batting average, but he looks so overmatched in the box almost always.
Well,
even last year when he hit 300, he's like, this guy is overmatched.
Yeah, and that's why they try to trade him all offseason.
Yeah.
Like they're clearly not believers in Jake Myers either.
No.
I mean, hell, he's not in the lineup today.
I guess the rest today of the league isn't either because they were unsuccessful.
Yeah. Like you would think you could find one team of the other 29 that would take a flyer on Jake
Myers.
Would
you trade him for a decent bullpen arm if you could get it?
I think you are.
Well, based on the value that you want in return.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, you could trade Jake Myers.
Yeah, you could trade
him for nothing. Yeah.
But to get the value that you want.
I think if Jake Myers were a free agent this offseason, he would have made $15 million a year.
Probably. And I think you can if you want to use him for to get a bullpen arm at the deadline. That'll be an option for the Astros and might not be the exact price, but you can use them to fill a need.
I might need it earlier.
Now,
though.
I think there's a bigger picture conversation here. Is like Dana Brown overvaluing his players. Like, because why wasn't Jake Myers traded if they tried to trade Jake Myers all year? Because I do think there would be a value for a really good defensive center fielder that is capable of hitting 300. That's still cheap, right? He's still club control. So why didn't they trade him if they were trying to trade him? They're valuing him too highly.
Yeah.
Why didn't, like, there's that school of thought with Isak, too, that they overplayed their hand with Isak Paredes, which kind of goes back into the, does Dana Brown know what he's doing?
Now, with Isak, I don't mind it as much.
I don't either, obviously.
With,
you know, I feel,
you know,
about it.
We're two games in. He's going to be in the lineup both days. They're going to find a way to get him in the lineup. It's not going to be his issue as other people have, you know, tried to make it sound. But, you know, could you have gotten lesser for him? Yes, I'm glad they didn't with him.
Yeah.
Now, Jake Myers is a different conversation. Is that if you felt good about what you have within your organization about center field and other options, then, yeah, you could have moved Jake for something lesser, and I've been okay with that.
I don't want to overreact to 162 games, but if I was forced, and it might even be forcing this take, but a hot take after 162, I think the Astros missed their opportunity to trade Jake Meyers, much in the similar vein that they missed their opportunity to trade Chaz McCormick.
That's fine.
Remember Chaz McCormick coming off the World Series year, had what probably was a career year, and it's like, yeah, we love him, we're going to play him all the time. And then it exposed him, and he was lousy, and he's getting DFA'd. And did he make the Cubs team? Did he make the roster for the Cubs?
It was a minor league deal, right, when they signed him?
No, they picked they kept the kid, the old man that the Astros were looking at. Conforto over him.
Oh, that's right, the lefty.
Yeah.
So, like, you, Chaz McCormick once upon a time had some value where you could have flipped him for, like, you know, maybe a mid-tier prospect, and then you don't, you know, you miss the boat, you miss the opportunity to trade him, and then he goes from an everyday guy to a backup to he no longer can be on our 26-man roster. I think they might have missed the boat to trade Jake Meyers. I think Jake Meyers is coming off a career year. I don't think Jake Meyers is ever going to have as good a season as he did this past year, and they missed their window to trade him. And I think there are some interesting center field pieces in this organization. I don't think that Loprofito's a center fielder, but I think he can, like, be a warm body there. They tried Cam Smith in center. Mm-hmm. Did they kind of give up on that? Maybe. Maybe they felt like he's a little bit like Loprofito, where he's more of a corner outfielder, which he is. But then, like, Zach Cole. Bryce Matthews has been moved to center field now. In fact, he's playing center field today. So I think we might look back at this offseason as they missed their chance to get something for Meyers whenever his value was at his highest.
Yeah, because I think you could, like, how different if it was Cole on the roster today instead of Meyers, would you feel about your outfield? If it was a mix of Loprofito, Cole, Matthews, Cam, Alvarez, where your outfielder versus subbing out Cole and Meyers. I feel no different.
Right.
I feel just as fine. Like, maybe technically you're a little worse in center field than you were before, but offensively, you're probably incrementally better there also.
It's just different, right?
It's just a different look.
I think Matthews could be a really good defensive center fielder because of how good of an athlete he is. Now, I don't think he'll be the Meyers, like, average guy, but I think he could get on base similar, and obviously he's going to run into some homers, mm-hmm. whereas Meyers ain't really. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line. Joe had an issue with the way that Hunter Brown was used, a little bit more concern. Not Brown, A.J. Blueball, my bad. And then also that Rome Fearmonger. Plus, Game 2 lineup is out. What's wrong with the spot is lineup? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9, live from Wild West Brewfest in Katy.
ESPN
97.5.
They say the holy water's watered down, and this town's lost its faith. Our colors will fade eventually, so if our time is running out, day after day.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Wild West Brewfest in Katy. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Indeed, Wild West Brewfest in Katy, your spot if you're a beer drinker, just looking for a good time. Launch party tonight at 7, general admission 3 p.m. tomorrow, 2 p.m. for the VIPs. They're going to have 47 artists on 5 different stages. You can get your tickets at the gate at Typhoon, Texas. If you are coming out, you have an iPhone, Wild West Brewfest app. You got a list of the vendors there, a list of the beers there, additional drink tickets on the app. They have their full schedule, their auction house on the app, which is live now, by the way. Get some raffle tickets, and then the grand prize, their Brewfest brew bundle. Every brewer pulling out a six-pack. They're going to fill a cooler with over 300 beers, so that'd be a great prize for you to win. Still got a couple of giveaways for a pair of tickets coming up a little bit later in the program as well. 713-780-ESPN, Rocky defending Brian. Branham, you're giving BMAC crap about the roof being open, yet you're giving trophies for barreling balls. I'd probably dial it down just a bit. Well, I think that's a better predictor of future success. I could have easily just said Loprofito had two hits. Like, would you have rather me said that? Because I could also say that, Rocky.
It would be accurate.
Right? 713-780-ESPN, Junkie, yep, Tigers in jail, charges DUI, unlawful, refused test, the urine test. He passed alcohol, but probably on them perks. He's in jail in Florida, was just on ABC 13 News. Tiger arrested for DUI, says St. Patrick, please stop letting this man drive. Tiger has enough money to have his own driver. What can Tiger drive better right now, a car or golf ball? YouTube Keith, probably a golf ball.
Probably a golf ball. He played in the TGL, right?
Yeah.
And for one day, so I would guess a golf ball.
Tiger arrested for DWI with the crash, WTF. I don't think people realize how hot it gets with the roof open and all those bodies in a bowl stadium. The air conditioner barely even keeps up with the body heat when the roof is closed. You, sir, no ball. Name one significant offensive improvement the Astros have made during the offseason. Would Loper Fido for Sanchez be good enough? Probably not significant. Not, I can't. You can't. You can't do it. There has not been one significant upgrade the Astros have made on the offensive end. Unless Loper Fido is just way better than Jesus Sanchez.
Yeah, but that feels like a – I mean, I know Jesus Sanchez was bad last year, but so I guess it's not impossible. You could say they upgraded, though, because they're going to have Paredes and Correa together for the first time this year. Is that fair? Like, because since they didn't play it all together last year.
That's
kind of like when you get a player back from the injured list. Like, oh, it's like we made a trade at the deadline. I hate that.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. So you had a AJ Blue Ball through 2 1/3 yesterday.
Yeah.
Two up downs there for Blue Ball, which, okay, interesting. But the more you think about it, the more concerned you are, huh?
Yeah, I'm just concerned that you're in the first game of the season, you're looking at the state of the bullpen and how injured guys are, and it's, all right, game one, we're going to do two up downs and have Blue Ball pitch 2 1/3.
Uh-huh.
And also, this early in the season, game one, I'm just curious how long he's now down for.
Yeah.
Is it 1 day, 2 days, like, or is he... Does he have a rubber arm and they're going to pitch him tonight, which it seems highly unlikely.
No.
But like,
he threw 41 pitches. He's not pitching tonight.
Yeah, so I don't mind the
– I think he's down 2 days.
Yeah, I would just prefer the one-up down. You know, come out, get the last out for Hunter Brown, come back out, get the next inning. That's great. He was good at what he did. Yes, he gave up two hits and an earned run, but he had three strikeouts.
Give him a bomb.
So I would like to – like, I'm happy with what you saw from Blue Ball, but it just concerns me that the state of the bullpen already is like – oh, well, we got to, you know, Hunter Brown gave us 4 2/3, so, AJ, you got to help us get the next 2 1/3 out here.
I don't love how they did it either.
Yeah.
I was pretty critical of it as it was happening, especially didn't like the Nick Allen pinch run thing. You saw he batted in the ninth, huh?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
What's happening here?
I don't know.
He also missed an ABS challenge, which was a good use of the challenge. Like, you had one in that spot. You needed to take it. It was a 50-50 pitch. I guess it wasn't 50-50 because it was in the zone, but it was dotted. Challenge that you had to take at that point because it was critical out late in the game. The only devil's advocate argument I would have here is that they view A.J. Blue Ball not as your setup man, not as your second-best right-hand reliever, but they view him as a multi-inning weapon, kind of in the way that I wanted to use Weiss.
Sure.
But maybe they look at Weiss more as a long guy. But maybe they look at Blue Ball as a game that's in the, you know, in the brink, right? A game that could still go either way. A tie game. Because he entered in a tie game, right? Mm-hmm. And in a critical situation. You had a runner in scoring position to go ahead and run. So maybe they view Blue Ball as kind of their fireman and they can also get you to the end of the game. Like, maybe that's their way that they're going to use him. Now, I agree with you with the 2 1/3 I don't love. If you want to use him for multi-innings, like, okay, go an inning in a third. Or start him in a, you know, a fresh inning. That way you can get three outs, one up down, three outs. That's two innings pitched, right? The two up downs is a little bit, you know, worrisome. But I think, based on just one game, that they view Blue Ball as a multi-inning weapon to get the game late in a high-leverage spot.
Yeah, which, I mean, makes sense. And maybe they'll use Weiss in the same way.
Yeah, because, I mean, Blue Ball is going to be shut down for a couple days.
Yeah, so maybe it's now, you know, today if you know, Burrows gets you – 5 1/3 that to get you to the into the seventh inning. That it's all right, Ryan. Just you're taking us there, and we'll figure it out after that. And maybe they're going to use it, guys, more as you know every other day, two inning pitchers. Like we'll see. It's just I hope it's just if it's a strategy.
Yeah,
I'm more good with it. I hope it's not a reflection of what Joe Espada already thinks of the bullpen at the start of the season that you can't rely on more arms to get you through a close game.
That's kind of where I would argue with the pushback I just had, or the devil's advocate. It's not really pushback because I don't disagree with you. It's more just playing the devil's advocate. But
yeah.
The counterpoint to my counterpoint to be the devil advocate to you is that that's great in theory when you have a really good back end of the bullpen. Like, it's great to have a guy that can go two innings, that can get you from the fifth inning to the seventh inning, and then you turn it over to Abreu and Hader.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't have back end of the bullpen guy. You have one right now.
Yeah.
And, like, Blue Ball is probably your second best stuff guy. So whenever you use that guy as your get it to the end of the game, the problem is whenever you don't have back end high leverage relievers is you're turning it over to King and Roa. And I know King had a really good year last year. Was that his career year? Probably. King gave up a run yesterday. So I just don't really think they have a bunch of quality arms in the pen. They try to sell us that bill of goods. Like, who in the bullpen are you looking at? Like, yeah, that guy's a dude. Brian Abreu, AJ Blue Ball, that's it? Like, King can get, you know, King had a good year last year. I know Oker was really good last year, too. But are those guys dudes, or do they just have a really good season?
We'll find out.
See, I'm a little worried about the quality of arm the Astros have. I think that they have a lot of depth to the pitching staff. I just think that they have a lot of mediocre depth. Well, I don't think they have a lot of quality arms.
I think you said that they're more of a regular season built team versus a postseason team.
Like, how many quality, like, dudes do they have? Hunter Brown's a dude.
Yep.
Brian Abreu's a dude. Mm-hmm. Josh Hader, whenever he's well, is a dude, but he's not well right now, so you got two dudes. Burrows, maybe. We don't know.
Well, I think everything else past that is a maybe.
Or no.
Yeah, so maybe,
like,
or a no.
Let's just go through the rotation. Hunter Brown, yes.
Yep.
Burrows, maybe. Emi, maybe. Javier, no. Mm-hmm. McCullers, no.
Nope.
Go to the high-leverage guys out of the bullpen. Abreu, yes. Okert, meh.
No, he's no.
He's solid.
He's not high-leverage.
He's not a dude.
Yeah,
he's solid.
Not a dude.
King, he's solid.
Solid.
Not a dude. Blue ball could be a dude. He's not yet. He has to establish himself.
I put him like Mike Burrows.
His stuff looked dude-ish yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's throwing 99, the 3,000 RPMs on his breaking, like the little ride on the fastball. He looked like a dude yesterday, but needs to establish himself as a dude. Anybody else? No.
No.
Nah. So I do worry that the Astros lack pitching dudes.
They do. They don't have dudes, and you don't have guys even probably that you're going to, like, if you wanted to trade Jake Myers for a bullpen arm, like B-Mac suggested, you're not getting a dude.
Right.
You might get someone that's having a really good season.
Maybe you get the right-handed equivalent of an Okert or King.
Sure.
Or like a solid dude who's going to pitch in the seventh, but not a dude.
Yeah.
Which, it's hard. Which, again, I love the idea of blue ball in a multi-inning role, but you probably need some dudes in the back end of the bullpen. It works great if you have Abreu and Hader. It's a little different whenever one of those guys is out and you're turning it over to King and Roa.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different there. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Fearmonger Rome, if you got some shows questions, we'll get to those too. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe live at Wild West Brewfest in Katy on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. First a moment on HRP, human resources and payroll. It's Cougar owned by my colleague, Go Cougs. He used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he wants to protect you and your business. They got a bunch of great people there. Chris Fisher, outstanding. We love the people at HRP. But business owners, this is the brass tacks of it all. Let HRP help you. They can help you in HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. They can help you in one of those areas. They can help you in all of those areas. No boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HRP is going to completely customize a plan for what you and your business need. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, a lot off your plate, HRP is going to find a way to help you. And they do it in a way that is unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You're going to love that, but you'll love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always talk to someone who knows you, knows your business needs. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525. Or check them out online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD. 97.9 HD2. ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Wild West Brewfest in Katy. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
We're broadcasting live at Wild West Brewfest. The Wild West Brewfest in Katy. Brian's going to punch me. We used to hand it a couple of beverages.
If I have it yet, it's not going to happen.
Brian, can I finish with talking about what I'm talking about? Some Austin East Siders, Brazilian limeade. Great summer drink. Great, mm-hmm. great drink if you're baking in the sun over at the Dyke, which Brian wants to do. But it's very tasty. You can taste the lime, very, very refreshing. This would be great right by a pool. You know?
Yes, it would be.
Which
convenient, right?
And then they also handed us the Paradigm, which is a Red Dawn Raspberry Hefe. This one's very refreshing.
They're both very good. I like both of them a lot, and nice. Like, it is like a perfect summer drink. I was looking at the app, too. One thing that's cool on here is you can separate what kind of beer you like.
Oh, that's really cool.
So you can hit IPA, and then, you know, it just shows the 19 IPAs that are going to be here, the ciders, hard seltzers, the hazy IPAs, all that kind of stuff. You can just search through it that way.
Launch party tonight at 7, Wild West Brewfest. Tomorrow, VIP admission at 2, 3 p.m. start. They're going to have 47 artists, 5 different stages, tons of great drinks. If you are coming out, download the app on your iPhone like Joe did, the Wild West Brewfest. You can find every vendor, every beer. You can sort by the beer you like, as Joe was mentioning. You can purchase additional drink tickets on the app. Their full schedule, active on the app. Their auction house on the app, which is live now, too. Their silent auction, plus that raffle. Brewfest beer brew bundle. Every brewer is pulling a six-pack cooler of over 300 beers. Grand prize, that'd be a lot of fun to win. Tickets at the gate, too, at Typhoon Texas. And because we love you, we're going to go ahead and give away some VIP tickets right now. Wild West Brewfest this weekend. It's happening. Typhoon Texas and Katy. Over 80 brewers will be present, offering multiple taps and brands. Tickets available. WildWestBrewFest.com or right at the door at Typhoon Texas. Giving away a pair of VIP tickets for Saturday. Get early admission for an hour right now at 713-780-3776. VIP, 2 p.m. tomorrow, and then the rest of the night, caller number 3 to 713-780-3776. WildWestBrewFest.com. You got to get here, and then Typhoon Texas tickets at the gate. All right, Fearmonger Rome, Chandler Rome, Fearmonger here. In his story today, which, by the way, Brian, I forgot this. I was devastated last night. I forgot all about this. But Rome, yesterday, Fearmonger, was talking about how when Pena comes back, Pena's back in the lineup today, by the way. We'll get to the Game 2 lineup in a bit. That Isak Paredes would not have a role, would not have everyday at-bats ready for him. Mm-hmm. Because Jordan Alvarez, according to Joe Espada, is going to be the everyday DH. Well, Jordan Alvarez playing left field today, and Isak Paredes is the DH. So that everyday DH thing goes out the window on day 2.
Yes, it does. And I think it will also go away on potentially day 3, where Jordan might not be in left field tomorrow, but you might see Christian Walker get a day off on the third game of the season and be the DH, and Jordan could be in left, and then Paredes can be at first. Yeah. They're going to figure it out.
Yeah, it's almost like we've been telling you that all offseason. Yeah. But some people just want to fearmonger and like, oh, no, Isak Paredes isn't going to be able to get off the bench. What?
He is going to run laps around you, or he's going to try to, if Paredes is out of the lineup tomorrow.
One day.
I know.
That's
still
67% of the starts.
Yeah.
That's more to every day than it is he's not going to have an everyday role.
Yeah.
That's not running circles around me at all.
He's going to definitely do a C?
Well, he blocked me, so he doesn't see what I say anymore.
Well, he might just quote tweet one of his stories.
Yeah.
He might not tag you in it.
So his fearmonger today, because we had a fearmonger yesterday, where, like, you know, once Pena's back, there's no spot for Isak to get every day at-bats because Jordan's going to be the everyday DH. His fearmonger today, Joe, Isak Paredes hit behind Alvarez on Thursday, but given the team's infield surplus, it's worth wondering how often Espada will be able to replicate that configuration. Pena's looming return will slice into Paredes' playing time.
Mm.
So he goes to it again. He goes to that well again. So does he continue this tomorrow? Whenever because the Astros lineup today has Pena in the lineup. All right, it has Paredes in the lineup. Mm-hmm. And it has Jordan playing left field.
It does.
So can he go back to that well again tomorrow? After the first 2 days have been like kind of a total contradiction to what he said?
I would say no, but sometimes you got take lock.
You dig in.
And you might just dig in at this point.
You dig in.
Because do you back down now? Is it worth backing down?
I don't know.
I mean, if he doesn't, though, doesn't that kind of lessen his credibility?
I mean, I think it's a dross of a take, honestly.
A what?
A dross.
Okay.
Something of low value or quality.
Oh,
gotcha.
Okay. I was with
don't you think it's a dross of a take?
I was with Joe on that one. I was completely lost.
I do now when you told me what the word
it's
of the day
is. It's a dross
meant.
Of a take.
Yeah.
Is
yeah,
what it is.
Yeah. I looked at Joe. I was like, wait, what?
I don't think you can go back to that well anymore.
No, you probably shouldn't.
Everything he is saying is a total fearmonger. It has been totally inaccurate 2 games of the season.
Yeah, and I think
it's only 2 games.
No, it is. Yeah, right. It's only 2 games. But even then, I would want to see how it plays out over like 2 weeks. Just to see how it's.
But even if it's only been 2 games, like his line of hard line stance at Jordan's DH only was disproven 2 games into the season.
It was disproven 2 weeks ago when Joe Espada was saying.
I'm just saying on the field, game 2.
He said he was trying to tell the media that Jordan's going to play left field.
Yeah.
He said, I've been trying to tell the media Jordan is going to play left field, mm-hmm. and we just choose to ignore those. And that's when Chandler Rome got like sassy with me and was like, well, you're saying that I'm cherry picking quotes. You are. It's a fact.
Yep.
It's a fact. The manager of the team says Jordan is going to play left. And then weeks later, you were writing how the manager is saying that he's going to be the everyday DH. You were quoting him incorrectly.
I think we're going to see more Yordan and left than even maybe we were anticipating.
I mean, I think you could easily do it 81 times. Now, he has DH one home game, but that was easy because Pena was out. But also, that's the other thing. Like, they're not going to be 100% available 162 games of the year.
Yeah.
In fact, one game into the season, they weren't 100% available. Like, injuries are going to happen, which makes it very easy to get everybody in. And as has been the argument the entire offseason, there is still a way to get all of the guys in the lineup when you absolutely want to.
Yeah, it's really not that challenging. And I just think we're going to see more days off for guys than anticipated. Maybe the Pena thing is a surprise to them that he's already back at this point from when he got injured playing for the Dominican Republic. But Walker can have a day off tomorrow, or Paredes can have a day off too. You know, like, he doesn't have to play every single day. Correa can have days off. It's totally justified to give these older veteran players, Altuve, just give them days off in the lineup. It's okay to do that when you have this surplus. You've got a long season and an aging roster in a lot of ways. So, yeah, I think this is I think he's take locked on it, but...
Well, I think he's flat out ignoring certain things.
Well, yes.
Like, how do you... Like, we played it on the radio, Joe. Mm-hmm. I think he said it with the Przinski thing. Was it called Ball 4 or whatever?
Foul Territory.
Do you know that Rome's podcast is under their umbrella?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So how does the manager go on with basically his bosses, says that I've been trying to tell the media that Yordan is going to play left field, and then Chandler Rome flat out ignores it?
I don't know.
Like, did he just not see it? Or is he just, like, doing it on purpose because fear sells?
Fear does sell.
That's what I'm wondering. That's why I call him a fearmonger. Is he doing it intentionally, or is he flat out didn't see it?
I can't believe the latter. No.
I can't either. He's good at what he does.
I mean, and half the time, except for that one interview, he's literally standing in front of Joe Spada when he's saying these things.
Yeah.
So he's hearing all of them. He records all of it.
Well, there was a period of time where he wasn't in spring, so I don't remember if he was there or
well, there was
not.
There was a back and forth, I think, the start of this whole thing before they left for spring training, where I think is what started this whole thing with us, where he took one part of the quote about Yordan, but not the second part.
Yes.
And that was like the whole basis for this fear-mongering campaign.
Yes.
And that was – Rome recorded it. He had the video.
Yeah, it's weird behavior. It's weird behavior. 713-780-ESPN. I just love for the – I love so much, though, that it's only been two games in the season, and we're already seeing like how it is actually tenable.
Mm-hmm.
Very tenable.
Tenable early. It's early.
Two games in, tenable.
It's early. It feels like a really good time to do Bad Take Boulevard, which will be centered mostly around Chandler Rome and some of his offseason takes that he had. 713-780-ESPN, Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from Wild West Brewfest in Katy on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. You know what you need to be doing? You need to get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort this spring, this summer, whatever the case may be. You're seeing these gas prices go up, aren't you? That's why you need to vacation closer to home, and Two Creeks Crossing Resort is closer to home. It's only an hour and a half from Houston. 90 minutes, and you're there. 90 minutes, you're hiking on their 92 acres of property. 90 minutes, maybe a little bit of extra time to get that kayak into the water and start doing some kayaking. You like pickleball? You can go out there pickleball, which is great for those with mommy's wrist. Or you can just hang out by the pool with a drink, too. They got Swampers. Hang out at Swampers with a drink. And that new water park opening soon, Blue Bayou Bend, opening May 1st, grand opening on May 9th. Got to get on out there. They got all the stays you want. They got the glamping, which is really cool. Front cabins, a tree house. You walk up the steps into a house, which is in the tree. Or if you already have an RV, they have the perfect RV hookup spots for you. Open green spaces, wildlife, trees you don't see in the city. Some of the best fishing in Texas with their Two Creeks. You can't beat it. Escape the city, enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. And they're always taking care of their visitors out at Two Creeks Crossing Resort as well. Their lineup in April is unbelievable. They got the live music. They got the food trucks out there for you. But Easter weekend, the first weekend of April, then their crawfish boil the next weekend, fajitas and Rita's cook-off the next weekend, then their chuck wagon dinner and spring fishing tournament the weekend after that. It is a bunch of fun to be had out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. So book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With Jeremy and Joe.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
Out at Wild West Brewfest in Katy. Come on by. Launch party at 7. Tickets at the gate. WildWestBrewFest.com. Tomorrow, VIP tickets 2. General admission 3. 47 artists, 5 different stages. It is phenomenal. We've been sipping on the Austin East Siders Brazilian Limeade. Perfect summer drink. Also, the Paradigm, the Red Dawn Raspberry Hefe. I love that. Anytime you drop a Hefe,
it's a great name.
I'm going to like it. Like, it could be like derogatory. Be like, you're an idiot, Branham Hefe. What a great name. So good of a name. All right, anyways, Bad Take Boulevard. What are the worst takes this week? A little bit of a Chandler Rome edition because he had a lot of surplus, untenable takes in the offseason. Let's start off with the first one here, Chandler Rome talking about such.
The Astros are moving one of their players. Like, this is barring something just completely unforeseen, barring things just completely falling apart within the next few days, the Astros are going to move one of these infielders and correct their infield surplus.
That was a month ago after they traded Jesus Sanchez for Joey Loprofito.
They didn't.
They didn't trade an infielder.
No, I think he was, from what we heard what Dana Brown said.
We said we're not done yet.
Yeah, he said we're not done yet.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's on never you for believing Dana, Dana Brown.
Never trust Dana.
Like, fool me once, shame on you. Yeah. Fool me twice, shame on me. Mm-hmm. How could you believe a word Dana Brown's going to say? How can you believe a word Chandler Rome's going to say nowadays?
That's why I don't get why anyone believes that there's an extension coming for Hunter Brown or Jeremy Pena.
When Hunter Brown was asked about this on the Crush City Territory podcast
with
Chandler Rome and Tyler Stafford, Hunter Brown's like, yeah, I haven't received an offer from them at all.
Yeah.
That they hadn't even talked since his rookie year.
Yeah. So, like, and then the next week, Dana's like, yeah, we love him. We want him here forever. Okay. He also said that we want Kyle Tucker here and he's going to be an Astro long term. And then they trade him 8 months later.
Said the same thing about Bregman.
How can you believe anything that Dana Brown says? When you start believing Dana Brown, that is a you problem at this point.
Mm.
It's a you problem at this point.
I agree.
And he was very strong here that, you know, hey, they're going to trade an infielder. But he gets better than that. Here's another one from Chandler Rome again about the surplus.
Now, I think maybe today, given what Dana said, given what Christian Walker said yesterday, given what Carlos Correa said this afternoon, I think maybe people are starting to understand like what we have been saying for the last 2 months, that this was going to happen and that this needs to happen, because just to create, again, a more straightforward roster, a more functional roster construction.
I don't necessarily disagree with him on the roster construction and all that, more functional, all that. But he got a little pretentious here. He's like, now you're starting to understand my brilliance. You're starting to understand the genius that I have, and all of you peasants aren't smart enough to figure out that they have to trade one of these infielders because it's untenable. So he gets a little bit pretentious here, and he's wrong. He was wrong about it.
I feel like if he could speak freely, if he wanted to speak totally freely, he'd be like, see, Jeremy, I've been telling you for 2 months this was going to happen. And then it didn't happen.
There you go.
Sorry.
All right, last one. Chandler Rome, again, this infield surplus, untenable.
Are we starting to understand here that this was never going to work? And, again, barring one of these infielders, heaven forbid on their part – heaven forbid one of these infielders gets hurt in the next 2 days. Barring that happening, this is inevitable. It is inevitable that one of these infielders is going to be traded and the Astros are going to have a more functional roster. And maybe now that people are saying things out loud and you're starting to put some context clues together and it's not just reporters citing sources and reporters analyzing things, maybe it's now coming to fruition a little bit.
Yeah, a lot. He was dunking. He was dunking on people. He was dunking on people saying, aren't you idiots? Like, you idiots, don't you understand now that this is going to happen? And I know the pushback's here, well, Pena got hurt. He was saying this weeks before Pena got hurt.
Yeah.
And Pena's injury was short-term, so short-term, that he's back on the second day and never started the season on the IL. Mm-hmm. Pena's injury isn't a cop-out to this take lock that he has. That was not a serious enough injury for the Astros to be like, okay, now everybody's off limits. No, we're not making a trade at all. He said, are we starting to understand this was never going to work? He was dunking.
Yeah.
He was taking a victory lap.
A victory lap
because they traded
happened.
Sanchez for Loperfido, and because he was buying the general manager saying we're not done yet, a general manager that never tells the truth.
Yeah, I do think maybe the worst take on the worst thing for all of this that puts him on Bad Take Boulevard is having a victory lap before what you're predicting is going to happen actually happens.
Yeah.
Because then you just end up being on our list and being wrong.
Makes a
list. But it's a victory lap so hard. Wrong move.
And he was wrong in all of them.
Yeah.
Wrong every single. I know it's one take, just says it a bunch of different times, and it kind of progressively gets, see how smart I am. All of you are so dumb. And then he was wrong about it. And here's the worst part. This is what I mean, that he selectively, like, takes quotes. He listens to Dana Brown for half of the things he says, and then he ignores him for the other half of things that he says. Mm-hmm. He listens to Joe Espada for half the things he says, and then ignores him for the other half of things he says. The only consistent here is what fits his narrative.
And he's condescending about it, too. Remember that quote the Q&A where he's like, I can't remember what the person who wrote in his name was, but he talked down to like, maybe you'll start to listen.
Maybe you'll start to listen to the manager.
Yeah,
like Joe, something about like Espada makes the lineup, maybe you'll start to listen.
Right.
Joe Espada's telling you that Yordan's going to play left field, maybe you should start to
and
listen.
And he did a game two.
And he doesn't listen.
No.
So he listens half the time and then doesn't listen the other half of the time.
Yeah. He listens to Dana who lies to us and doesn't listen to Joe who's been telling us the truth.
I really want to know the mindset. That's where I'm at here. Like, I want to know the mindset.
It's like, why?
Yeah, I want to know the why. Is it podcast related? Like,
no.
I need to be, you know, sell the podcast a little bit? Is it, I need to make my articles juicier? I need drama? Like, I really want to know the
possible.
Mindset. Or is it just ignorance? Or is it just selectively like, oh, I don't believe that, but I believe this, so I'm going to believe this part, but I'm not going to believe that part, because I'm the truth teller here.
I think my guess is that it honestly comes down to, he must think Dana Brown is the person you should rely on more than Espada. For whatever reason. That, like, taking Dana Brown for his word is the track that he follows.
We've also seen him kind of...
I don't know. I think he believes
Espada. I might be overselling the word use here.
But how do you say that about Espada, though? You say, like, he's the manager making out the lineups. Maybe you should listen to him.
No,
he's,
that's true.
He's talking about Espada as an authority.
We've also seen him at times... Maybe I'm overusing this word, but be kind of adversarial with like going back to Dusty.
Sure,
like not that he hates the team or anything, but I wonder if it's also that he just kind of has put himself in a spot where he doesn't believe the Astros because of their track record with their medical staff, and so he just wants to be an adversarial and a fearmonger.
I mean, to be fair, he's been adversarial with the Astros since the day he got here.
Oh, Crane doesn't like him
because
he
was
exactly.
Who they tried to fire, Drellich.
Oh, the Astros try to fire him?
Yeah, they tried to get him fired from
the Chronicle. Evan Drellich.
Yeah, they tried to get him fired from the Chronicle when he was working there.
Huh.
When Chandler got here, he was very, like, he would talk about that, and he was very pro-Evan, kind of anti-Astros from, like, the moment he got here because of that.
I don't really remember that. I kind of, now that you bring it up, I vaguely remember, but I wouldn't remember that just off the dome. From one non-baseball knower to another casual non-baseball knower, this jabroni on Twitter, at Jeremy Branham, he said on March 16th that Zach Cole is making the team. Y'all look way too much at spring training stats.
Wrong.
What a noob. What an idiot.
Yeah.
You just made the list.
I would like to point out that he did make the team, though. He made the Sugar Land Space Cowboys.
That's true.
He was on the roster that they posted out.
I mean, Joe Espada has been telling you Zach Cole wasn't going to make the roster. Maybe you should start listening to him.
So Branham makes the list. Astros ruined me on Twitter. That's a person. It's not me saying that the Astros ruined myself. Astros ruined me as a person on Twitter. He said he didn't think that Roderick Munoz was going to make the opening day roster. So just wanted to point out that you were wrong. You make the list. Spiffy makes the roster
list
as well. We started talking on February about like Nick Allen being on this team, and I told him that Nick Allen's going to be a late inning defensive sub. Smithy said Nick will be off the roster. You don't take a guy on your bench as a late defensive sub when we need flexibility as much as now. Guy plays the one position that is almost penciled in for 162 and plays exceptional defense with a C. Spelled defense D-E-F-E-N-C-E. Maybe that should have been the first sign. But Nick Allen's on this team. Not only is Nick Allen on this team, but he's pinch running for Christian Walker in the seventh and getting a high leverage at bat in the ninth.
Which is crazy.
Which is speaks to Joe Espada. But Spiffy, you make the list here. You were wrong.
Fair
you time. Just made the right. list.
Based on balls on Twitter, this is the guy we were going to send the cease and desist to.
Sure.
He said Joey Loperfido will be the Astros opening day center fielder. The Astros, as of tonight, will have played two different center fielders starting a game,
mm-hmm.
and neither one's Joey Loperfido.
Ah, it's
Jake Meyers yesterday, Bryce Matthews today. So if Joey Loperfido plays center field tomorrow, not opening day, he'll be the third center fielder to start in a baseball game. Mm-hmm. So based on balls, you make the list.
You just Joey made the list!
That. Mike Francesa, who has been struggling through the NCAA tournament.
Just a little bit.
Zubi Ejiofor left Kansas because he was blocked by Joel Embiid when Zubi was 9 years old. He struggled again with this college basketball take.
7-10, Iowa against Florida. Florida is a 10.5-point favorite. I don't see Iowa having a chance.
There you go. Francesa.
They have a chance.
It was the best thing to happen to Iowa, though. Yeah. Francesa picking Florida.
I wonder if his defense of doubt will be the same. Of it. Do you see his or hear his defense of the Ejiofor take? His defense was, well, you know what I meant. Of course I knew that. Of course I knew that it wasn't Joel Embiid. Like, you know what I meant.
I love that argument. Yeah, I mean, you knew what I meant.
It's hard to argue with it, to be honest.
Like, I think that's why he did. He's like, you know what I meant. He called people who made fun of him nerds for not knowing what he was talking about.
That's like, amazing gaslighting. That's gaslighting 101.
Like, the clip is amazing.
You're going at me for something that I said that was wrong. That makes you a nerd. Yeah. That's some significant gaslighting. That's some amazing gaslighting.
Yeah, I like
actually.
That a lot. We might have to adapt some of
maybe
that.
Maybe I can find it. We can play it during Junkie.
Y'all getting on to me over Zach Cole making the team. You knew what I meant. You knew that he meant AAA.
You knew he was going to be a spacer. Come on.
You don't know ball.
Nerd.
Because you don't know ball is why you didn't know what I meant.
I'm starting using that every time.
And then Joe yesterday picking Arkansas over Arizona.
You just made the list.
All right, that does it for Bad Take Boulevard. 713-780-ESPN. To be fair, Cole lost out to Bryce the last game versus the Skeeter Boys. Thank you for advocating for me. When are you going to start making Chandler pay rent for living in your head, Branham? That'd be nice, secondary income. We just like to expose people, that's all. Chandler Rome is a messy bad word who lives for drama. Maybe that's the mindset. Maybe that's the mindset there. Maybe you've nailed it. All right, coming up next, do the Rockets hate each other? 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe live from Wild West Brewfest in Katy on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
You can win $500 every weekend just for witnessing the madness at Twin Peaks. Phenomenal to go with your local Twin Peaks wherever you're at throughout the Houston area. Got one right by the house. We'll be out there probably this weekend to go catch some games because all the TVs, wall-to-wall TVs, 29-degree drafts on tap for you, whether it's Coors Light, Miller's Light. You can post up at Twin Peaks. Enjoy the games. Enjoy the great food. And look, it's the best time of year for sports. You've got baseball going on, the madness going on. It's just there's so much to do. You can watch all of it there at Twin Peaks. And it's not just that as well. They've got a new cigar lounge opening at the Twin Peaks in Shenandoah. So it's always a great time at Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
ESPN 97.5.